Week three. And in week three, we were meditating on peace and patience this past week. And some of the questions at the end, let's see how, just a reminder, in what situations do I find myself losing patience? Anytime I'm dealing with my own family. Is there a pattern, a link between these situations? Yes. They know all my faults. Because they know all my faults, then they don't react to the baloney that I try to give them. What is one patient testing situation I will likely encounter this week? And how can I approach it differently? That's really easy. I'm married. So there will be, while all these 43 years we've been ironing the wedding garment and making sure everything's cool, it's someone said that the sea is hard to conquer. And all mariners say that. They also say the sea is like a woman. They're very hard to conquer because they react. As I've taught before, they react based on their four CPUs. They have four CPUs. We have one. Men have one. One, a single CPU system, and it's run by logic. And that's it. Ladies have four. Okay? They have their mind. They have their will, they have their spirit, and they have their emotions. There's not an LED in my wife to tell me which one is working right now. I have to guess which CPU is working. And sometimes I react thinking that I think it's her will when it's really her emotions. I think that it's her something else and it's really her spirit. And I have one in four, right? That's not good odds. I like one in one for us. We are so predictable, right? Men are so predictable. It's, you know, it works by logic, or we think so anyway. Even if it's fuzzy logic, it works that way for men. For ladies, it's, you know, four CPUs. As a computer scientist and computer professor, it is easy to write an operating system for a single CPU. It's easy to write an operating system with a single CPU. When it came to two, it became very hard. And now that there's four and more, the operating system, the software that actually controls the computer, is very, very difficult. And we don't have like black and white ways to do that because you can optimize time, you can optimize CPU cycles, you know, there are lots of different ways to do that. In other words, programming perfectly a multi-CPU system is really, really, really hard. Imagine programming ladies. That was God's program. And he knew how to program them, and he made them perfect. He presented the perfect CPU, the perfect software running to the man. And the man opened his eyes, and the Bible doesn't recall that he said anything. But I think, thinking back to the days when I was in the pothead generation, he said, wow. I have a feeling that when he opened his eyes and he looked at the lady that was perfect for him, he just... I mean, like, this is mine? So, what did he say? This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Just like a guy. It's mine! Got it. It's mine. All right? So, you ladies, you're so wonderful. Difficult. for us single CPU people to try to figure you out. You should tell us. But see? Calm seas are easy to navigate, in other words. It's just normal seas that aren't. That's right. We've been married a while. Today's parashat is Acharei Mot, which is after the death of the... it's a remembrance on the death of the son, Aaron's sons, when they offered a strange fire to the Lord. And then Kedoshim. Kedoshim is from Kadosh, which is holy. It's a chapter on holiness in Leviticus. The world doesn't think much of Leviticus. I don't think that anybody ever quotes it much. And in the church world, in the Christian world, it's never mentioned very much. You know that this is the first chapter that an aspiring young man who wanted to be a rabbi, that he had to memorize at the time of Paul. And they usually memorize this between ages 5 through 7. Think for a moment. That's what I'm saying. To be able to quote it. By the time, if you want to really be taken to study with a famous rabbi, then by age 15 or so, the entire Torah. And then, after you're 18 to 19 and 20, the majority of the oral law. So to say that the Apostle Paul was an encyclopedia, a walking encyclopedia, is not far from the truth. And look at the credentials that today we actually require of ministers. Need to say nothing else, right? I entitled today's message, Worldly Wisdom in a Fallen World. Worldly Wisdom in a Fallen World. The scripture says that Adonai said to Moshe, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am Adonai your God. You are not to act as they do in the land of Egypt, where you used to live, nor are you to act as they do in the land of Canaan, where I'm bringing you, nor are you to walk in their customs. You are to obey my ordinances and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am Adonai your God. In every case, he reminds us, the reason is because Ani Yud Hei Vav Hei Elohecha. So are you to keep my statutes and my ordinances. The one who does them will live by them. I am Adonai, Ani Yud Hei Vav Hei. That's Leviticus 18, 1 through 5. Then going down to verse 19 of the same chapter. You are not to approach a woman to uncover her nakedness while she is in the impurity of her nidah. It's her period. You are not to lie sexually with your neighbor's wife and defile yourself with them. That's a restatement of not commit adultery. You are not to give any of your children in sacrifice to Molech and defy the name of your God. I am Adonai. Let me continue reading here. Since nobody reads it, let's read it. Verse 22. You are not to lie with a man as with a woman. The Bible is not silent. The Bible is not silent. And it's not wishy-washy here. You're not to lie with any animal. It's called bestiality. To defy yourself with it. Nor is any woman to give herself to an animal. To lie down with it. That is a perversion. And that's a really strong word, by the way. Do not defile yourself in any of these things. For in all of these ways, the nations which I'm casting out before you were defiled. The land has become defiled. Wow, that sounds like the U.S. to me. So I will punish its iniquity, and the land will vomit out its inhabitants. You, however, are to keep my statutes and my ordinances. I marked it in red in my paper. And do none of these abominations. How many? Okay. This is true of the native born, like him, nor the outsider dwelling among you. For all these abominations were done by the men of the land who were before you, and the land became defiled. If you defile it, the land will vomit you, as it vomited out the nation that was before you. Verse 29. For whoever does any of these detestable things. I like the way the TLV puts some of these words here. Detestable. The Lord says it's detestable. It, you know, stinks in his nose. The souls that do them are to be cut off from the midst of their people. But you, therefore you, are to keep my charge so that you do not practice any of these detestable customs. I should be giving this in Congress. That were practiced before you so that you do not defile yourselves by them. And it's followed, the conclusion, verse 30, the last thing, Ani Yud Hei Vav Hei Elohecha. I am Adonai your God. Just because I am Adonai your God. It's clear as mud, right? Is it any clearer? I remember the first time that I spoke on this in First Street. And my father-in-law, not my father-in-law, Ian's father-in-law, was present. As we came out, this is a Jewish man from Pennsylvania, not a believer. He came out and said, that's it, that's in the Bible. That's in the Torah. I did not know. So what have you been listening to all your life? Really? How can anybody that follows Torah, how about any nation that follows Torah? Right now, it's a mess in Israel. It's a mess. It's a political mess. But there's some underlying things here too. Because Israel has become nearly as liberal as the U.S., if not more so, according to some people. I can't say I don't live there. Just, I visited a number of times, and there are pockets in Israel that are absolutely liberal. The person that gave me a tour of the Knesset, a lady, a young lady, she was dressed in white and blue, like the flag. She was blue, all right. Should have been blue and white. And she was certainly blue. She thought it was awesome that the Knesset has representatives of Israel and representatives of the Arab nation. Right? I just kind of... is it really... Let me think for a minute. Okay, when I want to form an army to defeat the enemy, because the enemy is trying to fight against me, so I'm going to get some of them and put them in my government. I actually don't understand Israel. I don't even claim to even try to understand. The Jewish people per se are some of the most wonderful people in the world. They always are the first ones to go to their enemy's home to help. They were the first ones in Turkey. They've been the first ones everywhere. They're not allowed in Iran, but they would go there too. They the first ones in Argentina, the first ones wherever something major happens, you can bet dollars to donuts that the first people there with the proper equipment, which is kind of interesting, that they always have the proper equipment, and you know, I don't see the U.S. doing that, that they're the first ones to go, even here. So anyway, I thought that it's very important to read the word, let it speak to us. It is valuable and important to consider Adonai's word, which resides, I actually put in parentheses, is buried. The Christian world has buried Adonai's word, which is in Leviticus. It's buried. It's of no effect. Which is probably the most ignored book of the Torah for believers. We get into all kinds of things, and the resurgence of the book of Leviticus is when people began to understand a little bit about the high holy days and realize that they're forever. While it might be polite to follow the customs of a society you're living in, the Bible has a name for that. It's called sojourning. For Israel, and consequently for us believers that are grafted into Israel, it is definitely not advantageous. Actually, it's disobedience. But let me speak like a professor for a moment. Or wise to abide and follow the customs of a fallen world we find ourselves in. This world we live in is not wise. Well, it's quiet out there, okay? Shouldn't be quiet. You should be excited about what I'm saying, because it's the truth. In fact, we can safely say that in this world, they call good what is clearly satanic. I'm talking about the U.S. I am not touching Israel. It's the apple of God's eye. You can touch Israel. My son can too. They call evil Adonai's word. They call evil Adonai's word. There is a satanic strategy to keep people ignorant. And one of the books that the enemy is not interested at all, you know, anything about, it's the book of Leviticus. Because it stands in contrast to worldly wisdom. So verses in this week's Torah portion, Kedoshim, illustrate this great dichotomy. Out of curiosity, I checked the meaning of an origin of the expression, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. I was surprised to find the following in Wikipedia. You know, That took over Britannica and all those things. So, right. Quote, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, or a later version. Did you know this later version? When in Rome, do as the Pope does. How do you like that? How do you like that? Okay? It's a proverb attributed to St. Ambrose. Now, wait a minute. I thought that you know, some years ago when I spoke on this, I thought it was St. Augustine. The proverb means that it is best to follow the traditions or customs of a place being visited. St. Monica and her son, St. Augustine. Here we go. All right. So I just didn't have enough information. In the letter 54 to Januarius, circa 390 AD. So here's, that's the reference. You can go actually find it and read it. Discovered that Saturday was observed as a fast day in Rome, where they planned to visit. However, it was not a fast day where they lived in Milan. They consulted St. Ambrose. And St. Ambrose said, quote, "When I go to Rome, I fast on Saturday. But here in Milan, I do not. You also do follow the customs of whatever church you attend. If you don't want to be reviled or receive scandal." That reply is what attributes the statement, "When in Rome, do as the Romans do." And while it might be polite and advantageous to follow the customs of a society that you're living in, it is not profitable. It's either, you know, it's going to be good for you if you don't mess around with the beehive, unless you're ready to deal with the bees. And if they're hornets, or if they're those big bumblebees, oh boy, Stephen knows what it's like to deal with a bumblebee nest inside the tractor. If you'd like to ask him what that experience was like, him and my daughter and all, it was an interesting experience. He was trying to fix the tractor, and they didn't like it. Look, we are not commanded to do that. We are not commanded to, when in Rome, when in Canaan, do not do as the Canaanites do. Come on now, did you not hear that in what I read? But world wisdom is to do so. You can see right away that the world wisdom and Adonai's wisdom are two different things. So actually, the way we should say it is, when in Rome, do not do as the Romans do. When in Rome, don't do as the Romans do. In Leviticus 18, which is the Parashat Kedoshim, look at the caption of the TLB Bible for Leviticus 18. The caption. Before you read anything, they wrote a little caption on it. Big, big letters. Incest forbidden. And other forbidden relations. Of which homosexuality and all those other things, that whatever you want to call it, LBGTQHIX, you know, whatever, you're going to use the whole alphabet eventually. That, you know, it's forbidden. Yes, Virginia, the Bible does expound on human relationships. That it says in here, they're abominations. Does that sound like a really good word, right? It's an abomination. I just want to be an abomination to you, Dave. I just want to be an abomination to Yeshua. Is that not like a wonderful thing? Have we forgotten that there are other forbidden relations? The Torah tells us things that a person should not do. And it says that if you do those, practice those things, you can be cut off from your people. What does cut off mean? In Spanish, you would say, cortado. Te limpiaron el pico. The term cut off the midst of their people refers to death, refers to expulsion from a community. in the Christian world is called excommunication. The biggest thing, the biggest number one, the capital punishment in the Catholic Church is excommunication. Because they say if they excommunicate you, you're going to hell. No, they don't teach that. Oh, yes, they do. I went to their schools. Okay? All of my middle school and high school, I went to Catholic schools. It was either that or the government school so that I could become a really good heroin addict. Back in 1960, my mom said, "Ain't no way, Jose." There is a personal as well as a national consequence of that kind of disobedience. By the way, it's all sin. If you read through this list, you'll conclude with me that our country certainly is in trouble. I'm just telling whoever's listening that God's word is not vague. The Torah is not vague. That should be good medicine for all of us who are grafted into Israel and for Israel, but also for the church. In the Torah, we see the nation of Israel. They're called God's chosen people. That's what we've been grafted to. God's chosen people. They're getting ready to possess a land that Adonai was going to bring them into. This land that is vomiting the people, from what I read, right? Is vomiting the Canaanites. The Lord calls it a prosperous land, a spacious land, where they would benefit from someone else's efforts and live in houses they did not have to build. Do you think that's a judgment on the Canaanites? Yes, because they practiced those things that he was warning Israel not to do. That is clear. I don't have to go read anything. I don't need to read nothing. It's in the Torah. Adonai said they're doing it. That should really speak to us because it implies that in the U.S. and nearly every country in our planet, I hate to say it, but I need to say it, including modern Israel, is in trouble. How far has our societies fallen from the morality of Adonai? Look, verily, verily, I say unto you, King James for Yeshua speaking. So verily, verily, I say unto you, Adonai would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I didn't say that. Yeshua said that. If he doesn't judge us, that's in Matthew 10:15, Romans 9:29, 2 Peter 2:6, and Jude 1:7. How about that? Four references. Are we being judged? Leave it. We'll leave it. Are we experiencing the birth pangs of Messiah's return? So what's your response? The majority believers' response is this. Put a straight jacket on the arms, cover the ears, cover the eyes, cover the mouth. I must say that covering your mouth is actually something usually that can be yield something good. You keep your mouth shut, you can, no, I understand. You know, if you have hearing problems like I do, covering my ears is not fun. I don't hear nothing. I don't hear certain frequencies. I don't hear Marilyn's ding-dongs. She has a ding-dong going for everything. A reminder, dang, ding-dong, dang, 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 you know. And she said, "Oh, I'm sorry." I said, "What are you sorry about?" "That my thing is going." I go, "What thingy? What? You can't hear that?" I said, "No." I have no clue what it is. I don't hear her alarm. Sometimes I have earplugs. That doesn't help either. But I don't hear her alarms anyway because she chooses the most dainty ones. Ding, ding, ding. I would choose a semi thing. Right, Steve? I mean, look. It's like I don't need cuddly music to get me out of bed when getting me out of bed is a... You might as well just go, yeah, right, this is what's happening. I've got to get up. And you look at your wife laying there, right, typically. No, you're up early. I'm telling you, I train her right? You give her right to you. Anyway, some of the things happening today are not very happy, are they? Did you know that there has been an explosion of porn and sexual addiction? Did you know that many of us have suffered the loss of income and wages? You see, we are not doing so good. We are in recession, depression, you know, all that Essence things. We got them. I mean, look. The same pair of contact lenses that Marilyn bought in December, she ordered again. They were $40 higher. Have you looked at the price of everything at Publix, at anywhere? How about the price of gas? Is there anything that's cheaper than it used to be? Yes, porn is. They want to hook you. Can you believe that? Porn is having unprecedented profits. Come on now. Come on now. Really? In many states, abortion has continued undeterred. And there's not any signs in our society attributing any of these distresses we're suffering to our society's abhorrent behavior. Did I say that right? Abhorrent? Abhorrent? Okay. I would kill it. I would crucify that. Me and the Israeli, we both messed that up. Although he's American in his background, so. In contrast, we've been given explicit instructions about living in a greater level of holiness. Leviticus 19, verse 1. Sam quoted it last week. Or John, or whoever it was. They both quoted. Doesn't really matter. You shall be kedoshim, holy, for I, Adonai, your God, am holy. It doesn't say, well, there's no well, there's none of that. The holiness of Israel had to stand in contrast to the lifestyle of the idolatrous nations that surrounded them. In verse 3 and 4 of 19, it says, each one of you is to respect his mother and his father and keep my Shabbatot. I am Adonai your God. Don't turn to idols or make molten gods of yourselves, for yourselves. I am Adonai your God. Beginning with the command to be holy, and through the end of chapter 19, what you see is an exposition of the Ten Commandments again. Did they leave any out? This is the kind of questions the engineer would, okay, the repetition here, is it 10? Is it 11? Is it 9.5? Is it 13.3333? What is it? According to Hertz, okay, a famous commentator, verses 26 to 31 give specific instructions about certain Canaanite practices. He said, what's mentioned there are prohibitions against bodily mutilation. Oh. another area that ain't nobody gonna talk about. This verses 27 and 28, harlotry. In verse 29, the worship of false gods and the participation in demonic activity. Verses 26 and 31. The TLV, the Bible that we use, accurately chooses the word tattoo marks. In verse 28. And I think our society needs to consider that. There are many believers that have tattoos. There's some in the Messianic movement, and there's some in our congregation. There may be some who perhaps never knew that Scripture said anything about that. After all, Leviticus is buried. If you preach much of Leviticus, tattoo parlors get out of business fast. But what happens if it was done in direct disobedience? What happens if it was done in ignorance? Answer. Same. The blood of Yeshua, the Messiah, cleanses us from all sin. Let me say that again. The blood of Yeshua, our Messiah, cleanses us from all sin. As far as I know, tattoos are not the unpardonable sin. Neither is divorce, by the way. And what happens is you can go way over here. And you know what we're supposed to do? Love people. And unfortunately, at least in this congregation, they don't come in all washed up and ready to be exalted. Some show up dirtied up and muddied up, but with a pure heart. But, you know, they still don't take a bath or things like that. What are we supposed to do? Oh, that's okay, my brother. No, it's not okay, my brother. Let me show you how to clean yourself. But I'm going to love you in it. I'm not throwing you away. Don't leave. Stay. But change your ways. For goodness sakes. There are many, some perhaps, that had this done in ignorance. Some here. Okay? In all cases, there's forgiveness in Yeshua. In all cases, there's forgiveness in Yeshua to all who ask for it. Any act of disobedience is sin. And we don't need to put on any particular sin the label of being the unpardonable sin. How about Yeshua? He moved in compassion in all cases. Remember Mary Magdalene and her multiple adulteries? What you don't find from the Greek reading of that is that Yeshua didn't say, something to the effect of what is taught out there, but instead ask the people who were ready to stone her to do what the Bible said. Ask them. They all were guilty of the same sin. Any of you standing here that's not guilty of adultery, you can throw the first stone. And what happened? This is the problem, right? The problem is that, I didn't do that. You know, I'm holy. Holy Tony. I'm not holy. My righteousness is as filthy as rags. It's not any different than yours. I would like to caution all to consider what Leviticus 19:28 says. Before embarking in any such practice, my intent is to speak to the heart of a person and let the Holy Spirit do his job. I'm a redeemed sinner. I do not practice the things that I did prior to my salvation experience. Neither I am exempt from its consequences. I don't want to say. I've said it before. Violating the Almighty's word is a bad idea. No matter in what area of anyone's life. Verse 30, what we're reading here, and this stuff that nobody wants to read, verse 30 says, you are to keep my Shabbatot. That's plural for Shabbat. My Sabbaths. Okay? And reverence my sanctuary, and I'm Adonai. This is really enlightening, because did you know, based on history, that you can actually go research, that the Near East, the Canaanites, and the Jebusites, and all those people had Sabbath. What? They had Sabbath. But the Lord didn't say, a Sabbath is a Sabbath is a Sabbath. Which is what I'm, you know, people always try to feed me bologna. They call it bologna. I like to call it bologna. I don't want bologna. That's not cheap meat. Give me the good stuff. Okay? And we're always trying to feed people, especially in Puerto Rico, bologna and orange juice that has water and sugar added to it. I didn't know what real orange juice tasted until I got to the United States. And once I tasted it, especially in Florida, you couldn't drive up the turnpike and not stop and see those oranges being done like they do in Spain, by the way. Where they squeeze the orange juice and serve it to you in Spain and in France. Who does that? Well, the turnpike used to. Okay? Once I tasted that, I said to myself, I knew that sugared water was not, don't give me Tang. I don't care the astronauts used it. I don't like it. It doesn't taste like orange juice. And my favorite cake is orange cake. Made with real oranges. You know what the deal is here? Adonai wants us to observe his holy Shabbatot. He wants us to observe his holy days and not, watch it, I love the way this came out, the Sabbaths of the Canaanites. In other words, the holy days of the society they're surrounded by. That's why we're here today. What are you doing here? This is not the day. Oh, isn't that amazing? Every time I learned that something is not the day, I found out that it is. I want to close with the following thought. Kind of interesting that you're here today. Anyway, the Torah speaks frequently about a certain group of people in Hebrew called the Gerim. That's translated in the King James Version as sojourners. Here in verses 33 and 34 of the chapter that I was reading, the Torah shares excellent information about them. Who are these people? The children of Israel were Hebrews in a land which they were not natives. They were Egyptians. We must therefore understand the outsider alien sojourning in this passage the same way. A Gentile who resides in the land of Israel is a sojourner, biblically speaking, and not a proselyte. Just like Israel lived in the land of Egypt, sojourners are a typology of Gentile believers that are grafted into Israel. So don't show up and go, Baruch Atah Adonai. You know, and just in what I just said, he goes inside like, You don't know how to pronounce the resh, do you? If I wanted to say it like them, I have to pretend that I have a cold. And that something stuck in my throat. Oruch. You know, hey, listen, I'm Puerto Rican, so Puerto Ricans have an R, and you can say double R. The double R is closer to the what you all talk about than what the Americans do. They just butcher it altogether. Sojourners, therefore, are a typology of Gentiles believers, I said. Well, let me say the following. They were allowed to have sojourners in their land. Wait a minute. He allowed them. He allowed Gentiles that desired to live in the land of Israel. This is not modern Israel. Although some of the things that they're very upset about is that if the right takes over certain things, it's going to be the same old that used to be. That only the Orthodox Jews have anything. And they would look at him and say, you want to get married? Go to Cyprus. You're going to get married in Israel. Unless you're Orthodox. I'm conservative. I'm a real Jew. My father was a Jew. Goes all the way to Moses. So? They'll say, so? He made it clear of the following. I'm not going to elaborate. I'm just going to say, the sojourners are to be treated with goodness. Sounds like the fruit of the Spirit. With kindness. Oh, yeah, another one. With love. Yeah, another one. In fact, they are to love sojourners the same way they love the native born. Oh, yeah? There's a flip side to this relationship. That the Torah specifically instructed sojourners that if you're going to live in the land of Israel, you need to abide by the same Torah. The same Torah for the native born and for the sojourner. Torah was to be the law of the land of Israel, both for native-born and sojourners. In a way, if you are not of Jewish blood, you are compared to sojourners. You are to, you're going to live in the land of Israel. Where are you going to live? What were you grafted in? I mean, if you really want to be grafted to Puerto Rico, it'll be all right. We'll go together and have a good time. But it's a Puerto Rican not going to do it, the job, okay? You cannot make the Messiah be born in Georgia or in South Carolina or Idaho or I don't care, in California. He was born in Israel. What is he, an Israelite? You mean Jesus is Jewish? Yeah. You know, that's the biggest aha moment for Messianics. Oh my God. He liked the Jewish stuff. Well, we want him to like the stuff from Georgia. I'd be thrilled if he loved Puerto Rican food. I don't know that. So if he shows up at my door, I can serve him rice and beans, and some cube steak and plantains. This is an awesome meal. But what if I offered him tabbouleh? Tabbouleh. You like that? He liked Jewish food. He loved it. Like I love Puerto Rican food. You want to honor the Messiah? Offer him what he likes. Don't kill the fattened pig. And you say, well, I need to kill the fattened calf. Okay. How about offering him some lamb? I don't like lamb meat. It's strong. He likes, Yeshua likes the food of his people. That's a great revelation. Yeshua liked attending the services that his people attended. That's another big revelation. Yeshua liked everything about the people. He liked the area. In no place did it ever speak negatively about the land of Israel. In fact, he spoke with tenderness about Jerusalem and all those kinds of things. What are we supposed to do? Wheezy, wheezy, whatever it is. What would Yeshua do? What would Jesus do? Well, he wouldn't eat the pig. He doesn't want a Cuban sandwich. Before I knew anything about being kosher, I liked Cuban sandwiches. They were just awesome. And they were put away when I learned about the potential that I am actually Jewish. But it actually doesn't matter to me because the scripture right here. I'm going to be part of Israel. Then I'm going to have to be part of Israel with the same Torah as they are. So we can have meals together because it's the same stuff. You know, I don't have to try to train you to like my stuff. I need to be trained to like his stuff, which I think he likes too. I think that's awesome. It's backward. The people that brought Jewish people into Yeshua wanted to change them. You're no longer a Jew. You're now a Gentile. You no longer have to keep anything. It's the other way around. It's us who are grafted into Israel, not Israel grafted into us. Get that straight. That's in Romans 11. And if you get that straight, you will realize that there is an aha moment. And somebody will say, was Jesus white? Are there a bunch of white people in your country? From what many nations have, where they were scattered, have they come back to Israel? According to prophecy, from all the nations. So guess what? Israel is multicultural, multi-ethnic, kind of like Puerto Rico. Anyway, like that. So go there and you find out that they're Jewish, the Israelis, that look like him. He doesn't look, he looks like an American man. I'm just kidding, right? You look like you were born somewhere in the Northeast, someplace. You don't look like Texan, or I mean, you could be Californian, that kind of thing. And there are Israelis that look like Carly. What? There's all kind of races and colors and things. So what does a Jew look like? People. People from all the world. Unlike in some cultures where people, they're from that culture, they look, so you can say Middle Easterners. No, they have a look. Some Israelis have the look of the Middle Easterns. Some don't. I was there. I can tell you. It's true. There was some white as snow. There was some dark as they could be. There were all kinds of colors, shapes, and whatever in Israel. And they lived together. The problem is that historically we have tried to do this to the Jewish people. You have to look like us. Now, as a Puerto Rican, I didn't like that either. Before I was saved, I didn't like that. I said, I don't look like you. I surely didn't want to act like those people in Louisiana that I was with. I don't look like you. I like the way I look just fine. Got a problem with that? I don't. And that's just the way it is. We as Gentiles are way behind the eight ball, so to speak, because we have been grafted into a nation we really don't know a whole lot about. And we have been asked to follow the same rules and regulations as they do, to have the same mindset. And we say, oh, no, see, my mindset is Jesus. And he said, well, Jesus is Jewish. Huh? Well, what did you call him before there was a J? How do you spell his name? There was no J prior to the 1500s, so what do you call him? In Greek, it doesn't say Jesus. It actually has I-O-U. Kind of interesting, I-O-U, right? Interesting. Iosis. Which the I there is almost like a Y sound. Kind of thing. You can get the Yud is like a Y sound. His name was Yeshua. So guess what? We got a lot to learn, huh? Listen, if you're going to maintain a lifestyle in Messianic Judaism, this is where the Lord called you, then it's good medicine to realize what he said to his own people. And what he said to his own people is not just for the Jewish people, or for the Israelis, because that's a better way to say it. My son lives in Israel, but they told him, you're not Jewish. We're going to give you a card and everything. So what religion? Don't say Jewish because you're not Jewish. That's what the woman said. Just give me a religion, okay? But not Jewish. So he said, whatever all the Israelis say. He said it in Hebrew to them, you know, like that. Okay, awesome. So that's part of what Israel is upset about, if they go back to that kind of thing. Well, I think that it should be in a Messianic congregation that the same Torah, the same rules that were given to Israel are ours too. And we should respect them, know them, and do the best we can to adhere by it. And if there's a difference between the rules of the Canaanites and the rules of the children of Israel, the rules of the children of Israel are the ones that we're supposed to use. So, like it said here, are you to observe the Adonai's high holy days and Shabbat, or the Shabbat of the Canaanites? What do you think, Stan? 1222. I still have it.